extreme makeover. Not the one where you do the cosmetic, you know, change, you know, but the home edition. How many of you? Oh, not too many people. Okay, well, if you have watched it, that reality show, the series, usually start with each episode is one family that face the hardship. For example, natural disaster, you know, tornado or flood or fire or whatever, and or serious illness in a family. So this family is in desperate need of a new hope in the family. And then somehow the producer of the show would select this family and then interview them, make all the arrangements, and then send them off to 1 week of vacation somewhere. And then after 1 week, they come back. And during that 1 week, the producers, together with the contractors of the show, you know, will coordinate hundreds of workers all in that 1 week, would gather along, coordinate it, and do a very, very fast and detailed renovation of the house. So imagine when the family come back 1 week later, everything is totally changed. It's extreme makeover. And all these episodes, all these families usually have these things in common. First, an outsider, in this case the producer, sees the possibility of the house, the home that the owner himself did not see it. And second, this outsider does what the owner could not do. And third, that outsider pays for what the owner could not afford to pay. So pretty well each episode is like that. You know? The producers heard about this family, sees what the changes that can be made, and then do it and pay for it. And in some sense, God is also in the extreme makeover business. He is in the business of transforming your life and mine. First, God sees the possibilities in you and me that sometimes we are not even aware of ourselves. And God is also able to do for you and me what we cannot do for ourselves. And finally, God is able to pay the price that we cannot pay to have change, to transform our life. We can't afford the price, but He paid for it for us. But God's makeover is different from the reality show in one aspect. It's the reality show is a change that is on the external, on the outside. But God's makeover is a change that involves total transformation from us, for us, inside and out. So as we begin in 2016, I don't know about you, as you look back, are you satisfied with your spiritual condition? Are you satisfied with your relationship with God? Is your worship is very vibrant? Are you feeling a close urge, you know, praising God? Or as you read the scripture, as you read the word, you know, do you open the Bible and read it out of, you know, a sense of duty? And then after a few verses, and you start to doze off into sleeping. Like, how is your life? Are you satisfied? Is your relationship with other people good? You know, do you have a good relationship with your co-worker, with your family members? You know, all these are things that we can examine our life. As we begin a new year, this is a good opportunity for us to take an inventory of our spiritual condition. In the verse we just read, it said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The beginning of the year is a good opportunity. So let us use the scripture to encourage us. Some of us may be trying to get rid of old habits, bad habits, addictions. And may this today's scripture encourage you and me and give you hope, give us power, give us strength. So for today's scripture, I want to summarize it in three categories, three titles. First one is in Christ, second is by God, and the third one is for God. So first, in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If anyone is in Christ. In Christ, this phrase is used by Paul for many, many times. Someone make a count, it's a total of 83 times in Christ in the New Testament. And in Christ, this phrase is the most marvelous concept of Christian life. In Christ tells us right away that we become Christians not because of some head knowledge that we get or because of some practice that we do, but in Christ signifies a relationship with Jesus. In Christ, we are united in Christ. When we believe in Lord, in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our life becomes united with him. That's what the Bible tells us. You know, in Christ it signifies this, as we commit our life to Jesus, we believe that he is our Lord and Savior, there's something marvelous happen in our life, and our life is united with him, so that we become in Christ. At baptism class, I always ask these questions to the people who are preparing for baptism. I don't know how many of you still remember. And I typically, the question I ask is, how could a person who died 2,000 years ago have any benefits to you and you? You know, we believe that Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years. Okay, so you reprieve. How would this person who died 2,000 years ago have any benefit to you? How does the Bible teach us that Jesus' death on the cross carries some benefit for you? So for people who have gone through baptism, can you answer that? Kevin! This is small Kevin. Do you still remember? Yeah. Okay. The key transformation is because the moment that we commit to become Christ followers, something wonderful happened in your life, and that is you become united with Jesus. So that when Jesus' death on the cross represents you, died on the cross. Jesus buried in the tomb represents you together with Jesus are buried. And when Jesus resurrected, you are in Christ, you resurrect. So that's why his benefit can convey to us because we are in Christ. So these are the spiritual transformations which you cannot see it in your eyes. But when you go through baptism is the sign to signify this spiritual truth that is demonstrated when we get into the water, signifies that we died with Christ, immersed in the water, buried in the water, and as we come out of the water, it signifies that we resurrect together with Christ. So the baptism by immersion is a very meaningful action to signify the spiritual transformation that is going on that we cannot see by eyes. So it is a very meaningful a demonstration. So what does this have implication to us for 2016? When we realize that we are in Christ, this truth, how does it impact us, you and me, for 2016? Well, I think for one is we know that we are in the life of Jesus. Jesus is in me. We are in Jesus. So one obvious application, I would say that if we sin, we commit something, if we lie, we are dragging Jesus to lie. When we commit some lustful action, we are doing it, dragging Jesus with us. When we speak harsh words, ungrateful words, hurting other people, hurtful words, we are actually dragging Jesus with me. Well, if this makes you uncomfortable, so good. It should make you uncomfortable. Because Holy God is living with you. When you are in Christ, we always remember this marvelous truth. We are in Christ. Just imagine God is always with us. And I think it would make us radically change in what we plan to do and think. And in Christ, it also represents a close communion with our Lord Jesus. Let's turn to Gospel of John, chapter 15. Gospel of John, chapter 15. Verse 5-7. In Christ, tell us a close communion with Jesus, as close as wine and branches. In verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. You see, this tells us that Jesus wants to be close to us. It's like vine and branches. It's a lifeline connection. Are we having this close communion with Jesus? In the past years, have we been spinning our wheels but not going anywhere? We try a lot of things, but really not going anywhere, not achieving anything. Well, maybe it's a good time that we think about. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Are we doing things, inviting things, doing together with God? Is God not answering our prayer? Well, Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Have we been spending a lot of time asking, praying for things that are not really God's will? So, in Christ, 2016, let us focus on our relationship with our Lord Jesus in Christ. And second, I put it the title, by God. In verse 18, it says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. All this is from God. Our transformation, the extreme makeover, is by God. It's God who takes the initiatives. Like the extreme makeover, the homeowner can't make it happen and cannot afford the renovation. Similarly, our spiritual transformation, our reconciliation with God, is impossible from our own human effort. There's nothing a sinner can do. There's no series of ceremonies or works that a sinner can do to make himself reconciled to God. But it is by God. God will take the initiative to do it for us. So how did God do it? Well, in verse 21, it says, God make him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This statement is a summary of the gospel, and it expressed what theologians call is the doctrine of substitution. How did God make it? How did God make our transformation to make us reconciled to God? And it is basically by God substituting us on the cross. He died our sin. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. So by paying for the penalty of our sin on the cross, God can use this act to declare us not guilty, righteous. Someone said, Jesus died on the cross. It's just history. But Jesus died on the cross for me. It's the gospel. You see, Jesus did his death. If you believe that his death is for you, then Jesus' death have meaning to you. So what should be our response? Well, the response is, of course, it should be one of gratitude for God's love. In verse 14, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. So when we know that it's God who sacrificed his son for us, then our response should be thanking him, loving him. Just like John shared just now, you know, whatever we do, it's out of our love to him. If we realize that it is God's love that make us, transform us to who we are now, then this love will compel us to live our life not just for ourselves, but for God himself, but for him who died for us. So all action that we do, our response is should be out of a total gratification of gratitude of what God has done for us. And thirdly, the point of for God. For God. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting man's sin against him. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. See, God transformed us and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And Paul later on says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. God expects us to take this message of reconciliation to tell other people that they can be reconciled to God. That's our mission. And that's what we live to do. That's the purpose God leave us on earth, is to tell other people that they are reconciled to God. You see, the extreme makeover is not just to make you happy. When it says that this new year you have a new you in 2016, it's not just for you, but the purpose is so that you can tell others of the good news that they can be reconciled to God. Last week, while some young people go to Urbana Mission Conference, actually I and Sharon went to another conference. This one is local. It's a conference called Gospel for China. The attendance is not as great as Urbana, but it's still around 2,500 people at a place in Pear Palace in the 400 and Finch area. And in this conference, one of the speakers is called Dr. George Murray. He's the president of Columbia Christian University. And he encouraged us to be a witness, always for Christ. And many of us travel, right? Travel by airplane. You know, the airplane is a trip that can be very, like people react to travel. Very extreme, you know. For air travel, you know, when you travel by plane, how do you talk to your person sitting to you? You know, I see it as extreme. some of them, sometimes there will be, one extreme is they never talk to other people. The other extreme is they chat all the time, you know, the whole trip. Two hours, 3 hours, or you know, 10 hours, you know. And Dr. Murray says, you know what, I've been traveling so many years in air travel, I observed this one rule. When you travel on an airplane, that is, when you meet your next seat passengers, if they don't start a conversation within the first minute after you meet one another, you'll never talk to one another for the rest of the trip. So he encouraged us to talk to other people, and he says that the first 1 minute is the most critical, because after that, you will not want to talk to other people. And he says, usually what is a good conversation starter? He suggests one very good conversation starter. He said, are you going home or are you leaving home? Think about it. It applies to everybody. Everybody is either on this plane is either going home or leaving home. And if they are going home, there's something to look forward. And there's leaving home, you can ask them, you know, the purpose why you leave home. You know, so that's a very good starting line. And then he suggests another question is, ask other people, what kind of job you do? You know, whenever you ask other people what kind of job you do, once you listen to them, you know what would be the automatically you can anticipate a response? It's that person, he or she would ask you, then what kind of job do you do? Then he says, for him, then he can always say that, you know, I am the administrator of a Christian school that help other people, equip other people to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, this is the opportunity inviting other people to give him the opportunity to say something. But for you, and maybe you can say that, oh, I am an IT consultant, and I am also an ambassador for Christ. Guess what? Once you said this, people would ask you, what does it mean? And then it gives you lots of opportunity to tell what you are and who you are and what your Lord has done for you, for all people. So anyway, this is just an example. In our hymn book, if you have a hymn book close to you, in hymn number 490, there is a song that is very popular, written about 40 years ago. And its title is called People Need the Lord. People Need the Lord. You see, this song was for people who are familiar with it. And then the refrain is You see, this song about 40 years ago was very popular. But now, people kind of becomes too familiar. And don't, you know, the best way to appreciate this song is to go to a shopping mall. When you go to a shopping mall, take the lyrics with you and watch the people. People need the Lord. And when you read the lyrics, it says, every day they pass me by. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides the silent cries. Only Jesus here. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? We are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cause for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life. Only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? We know that people need the Lord. Yet, when you go to the mall, what do you see? For most of us, we go to mall to look at things, and people get in the way. Too many people occupying the parking space. I cannot find a good spot because of people. So, in this passage, Paul is saying that God was making His appeal to us. He says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making His appeal to us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. In 2016, as we start, can we pray that we can be changed so that we can see what God sees? God is asking us, imploring us to be His ambassadors so that other people can know that, come reconcile with God. May we see what Jesus sees. People in our school, in our workplace, in the gym, supermarkets, we see people as God sees them. May this be a new me in Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the great transformation we experience in Christ. Yet we realize that this transformation is not just for us to enjoy. Our reconciliation, our peace with God, this wonderful news need to be shared with other people. Help us to realize that we are the representatives of God. We are the ambassadors so that other people can be introduced to Christ through us. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.